A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
This morning, my sermon title is Forgiveness 101. And right up front, I'll tell you the thesis. Forgiveness is a practice. As Christians, we practice forgiving each other of small things, knowing that God, in God's great mercy, forgives us for large. Let me tell you what I mean when I say small things. As a pastor in the church now for nearly 20 years, I've seen all kinds of slights and spats and flaps and feathers ruffled over all kinds of small, piddling things. There have been misprints and omissions in the bulletin, unsent invitations to the wedding, unaccepted invitations to the wedding, disagreements over the candles on the altar, departure over the robes in the choir, arguments upon arguments about the temperature in the sanctuary. Never from any of you, you're all just fine. And a miserable and bitter, bitter feud going all the way up to the Board of Deacons over the moistness of one white chiffon cake in my first church. A wife of a deacon told another wife of another deacon that her cake was too dry. And the next thing I knew, three families were all looking to leave the United Church of Colchester. And Peter asked our Lord, "How often must I forgive? Up to seven times?" And our Lord said, "More like 77 times seven, if you're going to try to make church anything more than a passing hobby." For as my former administrative assistant at Second B used to say, when she left out a name on the second page or failed to follow through with an email canceling or confirming an appointment, "I'm so sorry. Please do not take it personally. We are equal opportunity offenders." We are equal opportunity offenders at church. Stick around here long enough and you'll learn that forgiveness really is required, and lots of it, because we are imperfect people with imperfect pastors in imperfect systems. And sometimes somebody just doesn't like the chiffon cake. So we have to be willing to forgive 77 times seven times, meaning again and again and again, because that is what is required of a people who are in relationship with one another and want to stay in relationship with one another. And it is also what is required of this body that we call the church, to be a witness of reconciliation and unity in a world full of recrimination and estrangement. Often we hear this word forgiveness and our minds immediately turn to the most extreme cases of offense and pardon. We think of Jesus forgiving his tormentors on the cross, or the families in Charleston forgiving the white supremacists who killed their loved ones in the church, or the Amish community that did the same after their children were killed in the schoolhouse. Those are extraordinary cases, and indeed, they are beautiful and inspiring. But most of us, pray God, will never have to forgive something so horrific or heinous. And how could we forgive something so extraordinary and profound if we don't first learn to forgive things much, much more ordinary and commonplace? C.S. Lewis said something to this effect in his classic book, Mere Christianity, written as a kind of set of talks given on BBC radio during the Second World War. Lewis told his listeners that they shouldn't start off learning what forgiveness is all about by trying to imagine for themselves what it would mean to forgive the Gestapo for what they had done in the concentration camps. Rather, Lewis said, mere Christianity means first learning to forgive one's spouse for what they've done or haven't done in the home. Forgiveness is like mathematics, Lewis said. You don't begin with calculus. You start with addition. 7 plus 7 plus 77. And then you move on to multiplication. 7 times 77. Calculus comes later. And if your major is PR at Texas Tech, it never comes at all. Forgiveness, as I said, is a practice. And like anything else we practice, whether it be math or ballet or basketball or music, we first start with the fundamentals before we can move on to more complicated things. The gospel lesson this morning is about the fundamentals of forgiveness. The forgiveness of our brothers and our sisters. The forgiveness of the people in the pews. We practice learning to forgive the small things before we are ever asked to learn to forgive the large ones. I want to make a kind of confession to you this morning that I think I probably misinterpreted this text the last time I preached it to you back in 2017. I told you during that time a difficult but very inspiring story about a friend I have who was abused by a family member when she was just a girl. She has healed a great deal from her trauma, and she has come to a place of forgiveness for her abuser. But it is a practice for her, and it's not easy. And she says that she has to do it again and again and again. She told me, in fact, one day that she had come to understand the meaning of this story for her. 77 times 7, Jesus' words. She said to me that there are 7 days in a week, and that she hopes to live to the average age of women in America, which is 77. So she said, for 7 days a week, every day of all my life, I have to choose to forgive. It's not a one-time thing. It's an each and every day thing. I choose to forgive each and every day. As I said to you, in 2017, this is a beautiful and inspiring and truly extraordinary interpretation and application. And I think my friend is amazing, and she is a survivor, and she is full of both grace and also grit. But this morning, I do not want to leave with you the impression I fear I may have left in 2007 that we must simply forgive all things always. I don't want to be taken as if I'm laying down a law that only further burdens the already victimized. Jesus taught us that we are to forgive as we wish to be forgiven. Jesus said that the measure that we give will be the measure that we get. My friend has given an extraordinary measure of grace to her perpetrator. That is her interpretation and her application, and it's her journey. It is not law. It is grace. And it is a part of the way that she is being healed through her own choice to forgive day by day by day. The text that we have today gives us Jesus being asked by Peter how often he is to forgive. And Jesus responds by sharing this parable. It's a story about a man who has forgiven an extraordinary sum of money, like billions and billions of dollars. The late Ann Koosman, who was here, used to say millions and Brazilians of dollars. Then the man goes off and demands that another man who owes him about $50,000 pay every single penny. This is the parable I thought of when all of those congressmen and women whose companies were forgiven millions in PPP loans put the kibosh on ordinary Americans being forgiven for their student loans. I think that is the real point of this story. Not that we have to forgive everything in order to be ourselves forgiven, but that we ought not to expect to be forgiven for our own debts without also being willing to ourselves forgive the debts of others. It's not a law that we forgive. It's not a law that we be forgiven. It's grace. It's mercy. We have to be willing to give it freely in order to also receive it freely as well. This is the mistake I think I made the last time. Are not being asked in this text this morning to do the extraordinary. We are not being asked to forgive an abuser or an oppressor, and we aren't being asked to forgive a monster. We are being asked to forgive our brothers and our sisters and our fellow church members. And we are being asked to forgive them again and again and again. Because that is the way that we have been forgiven. We are being asked to practice forgiveness. For it is practice that makes perfect, and we are called to be perfect even as our parent in heaven is perfect. But our forgiveness cannot be perfect as in heaven if we don't put it into practice here on earth. God has forgiven us so much. That is the meaning of Jesus Christ's proclamation, that God has freed us from our trespasses and sins, so then we ought to free others also. But in order to free others, we also have to free ourselves. That was an essential part of Jesus' teaching. He said, "He who is forgiven little loves little." And I wonder if so much of our need as a society for retribution doesn't have much to do with our own lack of inner forgiveness. She who is forgiven little loves little. But he who has been forgiven much shall surely not be the one to cast the first stone, or really any stone at all, big or small. "Father, forgive them," Jesus said. Let us learn to forgive also. Let us learn to practice forgiveness. And let us begin to practice right here and right now by joining together in closing the sermon with the words of the prayer our Lord taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all. Amen.